First John chapter 2, verse 3. John, in his epistle, gives to us many tests that we might prove the genuineness of our relationship with God. These are designed to help us to realize how genuine is our profession. A lot of people make professions of faith. It's easy to say very deeply devoted kinds of things about the Lord. It's easy to talk about my dedication with words of just great commitment. But oftentimes it's only words. And so John gives to us really a series of tests, testing what I say against reality. Have you heard of a person that has told a lie so much he's come to believe it himself? That does happen, you know. And it happens quite often in our spiritual kinds of experiences. We have, you know, boasted so often of a particular thing, we actually believe that it is a reality. But sometimes our boasts are just empty boasts, as John does point out to us over and over again. People do make great boasts, but like the old song says, it ain't necessarily so. And so John helps you to find out if it is necessarily so. How can I really know that I know him? How many people say, oh, well, I know him? I've heard so many people make that kind of a claim that, oh, I know the Lord. And it's a claim that they have made, but the claim doesn't necessarily hold up to the proof. It's interesting, and as we get into the epistle of John a little further, we're going to notice that he uses the word know many times. Over 30 times he uses the word know. There are two Greek words that are involved. Some 20 times the word know comes from the Greek word gnosko, which is to know by experience. I know that if you put your finger in a socket that is live, you'll get a real jolt. I can tell you that. I know that is so. I can remember when I was a little boy and I curiously put my finger in a open socket, and I can still remember the jolt I have. That's gnosko. I've experienced. I know by experience what it will do. There is another Greek word for know. It is used some 14 times here in the epistle of John. And that is the Greek word oides. And that's to know by intuition, or just something that I know. And of course, in our spiritual walk, there are many things that we know by the fact that the Bible does declare them. And so we know by faith or by intuition. In chapter 3, verse 2, we have an illustration of the word oides. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. How do we know that? We can't know that by experience yet. And so we know that because the scripture affirms that to us. And so that's the oides, the knowledge by intuition or through faith, contrary to the knowledge by experience. Now, here in verse 3, He uses the word know a couple of times. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Here the word is gnosko. Here we know by experience. I know by experience that I know him. My claim is that I have had an experience with God. I've experienced a relationship with Jesus Christ. I know that. I know that by the experience that I've had with him. What is the proof of that claim? Just the fact that I say it doesn't necessarily prove it. But the proof of that claim is my obedience to him and my love for my brothers. In chapter 4, verse 20, John said, if a man says, I love God, and he hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? So, I may make the declaration, but the declaration isn't necessarily accurate. The fact that I think it does not necessarily make it so. For if a man thinks that he is something, Paul tells us, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So you have to look for something of stronger proof than just thinking it or declaring that you have done it. Hereby we know that we know him. How can I really know for sure? John said, if we keep his commandments. What is his commandment? Well, going back to the Gospel of John, chapter 13, John said that Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. The commandment, love one another as he has loved us. In John 15:12, Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. John 15:17, Jesus said, these things I command you, that you love one another. So we know that we know him if we love one another. Jesus said, by this sign shall men know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. So it is the proof to the world that I am truly a Christian when I love others. But it's also the proof to me. It is the way I know that I am truly a child of God in that I do love my brothers in Christ. Now the word love here is the Greek word agape, and it is a divine fervent love. The Greek language is much richer than English. The vocabulary is probably three times that of the English language. The Greeks have many ways to express love and different words to express different kinds of love. We're sort of stuck in English with one word, love. I love my wife. And I love my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. And I love hot fudge sundaes. But what I feel towards a hot fudge sundae is far different than what I feel toward my wife or my grandkids or my children. But you see, we have the one word of love. And it shows the weakness of the English vocabulary because we are limited in the words that we can use. It's interesting. The people who go into the different tribes who are speaking different dialects and are wanting to translate the scriptures into the different tribal dialects oftentimes have a difficulty with translating because of the cultural background, say, of a particular ethnic group. I had a friend who was a missionary in Panama. He was in the Darien province and ministering to the Indians there. And he was translating where Jesus, you remember the story of the blind man that came and Jesus, it said, spit on the ground and made it some mud and put it in his eye and told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam and he would be healed. So when he was talking to his helper and it talked about him spitting on the ground and making the mud, he was the helper was confused and he said, well, how did he spit? Because they have so many different ways of spitting. And, you know, did he spit in his hand or and put the, you know, and it's just, it was, he had difficulty in translating because of their culture. They have so many different ways of spitting. And so it made a, you know, what word do I use to translate this particular activity of Jesus. So that the word love. In the Greek, there is a word for love, which would be love on the physical level. The love that Hollywood usually portrays. And the Greek word for love on the physical level is eros. And from that, we get our English word erotic, and that will give you a little idea of what the eros is. It's love on a physical level. But that is not necessarily a, you might say, true love for the other person. It is extremely self-centered and selfish. It's looking at a relationship for what I get out of it. It really isn't that concerned in the other person. But I'm into the relationship for what I can draw from it. The eros. Love on the physical plane. And then they have the phileo. This is emotional love. Love on the emotional plane. Surely it is much deeper than the eros because it does give and it does receive. Oftentimes it gives in order to receive, but it is sort of a give and take kind of love, this phileo love. These are the two common Greek words used for love. When Jesus came along and they sought to express God's love, for God so loved the world, greater love has no man than this, than he will lay down his life for his friends. It seemed like they needed to coin a new word. to talk about love that's on the deepest level. Talk about love that is a giving love. That is not really looking for something in return. A love that just gives without asking for a return. And so they came up with the word agape. Love on the spiritual level. Love on the deepest level. Love on the truest level. Now, it is interesting that when Jesus talks about a new commandment that I give unto you, that you love, he is using that agape. Loving on the deepest level. Love as I have loved you. That is the love on the deepest level. And this becomes the proof. This is his commandment, that we love one another, even as he loved us. And if I do, then I have real proof that I am truly a child of God. It isn't just saying, well, I know him. It's proof that I truly know him when I have this kind of deep, fervent, spiritual love. It's interesting, whenever you introduce a new word into a language, and of course in our space age, we've had a lot of new words introduced, nanosecond and so forth, and you have to sort of define the word when you introduce it into a language. So in introducing the word agape into the language, into the Greek, it was necessary to sort of define what agape is. And so Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 does define agape. This is the kind of love that you are to have for one another. It suffers long, and it is kind. It does not envy. It doesn't vaunt itself or self-seeking. It's not stuck up, and it doesn't act weird. Oh, you've had people that have acted weird? Yes. It doesn't insist on its own way. It doesn't get exasperated. And it doesn't think evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but it does rejoice in truth. It bears all things. And it believes all things. It hopes all things. And it endures all things. It never fails. That's the kind of love that Jesus has commanded us to have for one another. So, when you say, well, I really know him, the question is, are you keeping his commandments as proof? Hereby we know that we love him, if we keep his commandments. Loving one another seems to be the main message of Jesus. And it is the message that John passes on to us more than any other. In fact, John is often referred to as John the Beloved, because he did seem to catch the message of Jesus that the most important part of being a Christian is having this love. In John, 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brothers. And he that loves not his brother abides in death. And whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. 1 John 4:7, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God, and he that loves not knows not God, because God is love. 1 John 4:10, Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another with this agape, spiritual, fervent, divine love. In John's second epistle, verse 5, he said, And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto you, but that which you've had from the beginning, that we love one another. So when we read there in verse 3, Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. His commandment, of course, is that we're to love one another as he loves us. Now John gets pretty strong. And he declares that if I say I know him and do not keep his commandments, I'm a liar. A lot of people are going around saying I know God, and yet they're filled with hatred. They are speaking evil and seeking to degrade. And yet they affirm that they really know the Lord. John said, you're a liar. If you say that you know him and you do not keep his commandments. If I say I really have received Jesus into my life, and yet I have bitterness or hatred for my brother, I'm lying. Now, here in the first couple of chapters, we have some interesting contrast and interesting parallels. In 1 John 1:6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie, we do not the truth. 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So I can be saying something. I can say I have fellowship with him, and yet if I'm walking in darkness, that's a lie. I can say that I have no sin. I'm deceiving myself. The truth isn't in me. In chapter 1, verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Chapter 2, verse 4. He that says, I know him, and keeps not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. 1 John 2:6. He that says he abides in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. In verse 9, he that says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness, even until now. So, if I say abide in him, then I should be walking as he walks. And if I say I'm in the light and I hate my brother, I'm in darkness, even till now. If we say, verse 6 of chapter 1, that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. 2:4, he that says I know him and keeps not his commandments is a liar. The truth is not in him. In both, you know, they do not have the truth. In 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we do have fellowship with one another as the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us from all sin. Verse 5, chapter 2, but whoever keeps his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected, and hereby we know that we are in him. When God's love is perfected in me, then I know that I am abiding in him. Keeping his word. keeping his commandments. God's love is perfected in us. Verse 5, whoso keeps his word, in him verily the love of God is perfected, and hereby we know that we are in him. There is assurance. We know that we are in him. And the proof that I am abiding in him is manifested by my walking as he walked. What does it mean to walk as he walked? Well, Peter said, for even as you have been called to follow the example that has been set for us by Christ, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. That's the example that Jesus set for us to follow. Paul wrote, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God. Jesus said to his disciples, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. The Bible teaches, Jesus teaches throughout the scriptures that love is supreme. That it is the proof that I am truly a child of God. As Paul talks about the spiritual gifts to the Corinthians, at the end of chapter 12, he said, desire earnestly the gifts of the Spirit. But yet I will show you a more excellent way. And that more excellent way is to walk in love. For he goes on to say in chapter 13, though I have spiritual gifts, the gifts that were mentioned in chapter 12, so that I could speak with tongues of men and angels, and if I have not love, it's a meaningless sound. The tongues are meaningless. They prove nothing. Though I make great sacrifices, though I offer my body to be burned, though I sell everything I have and distribute it to the poor, if I have not love, it profits me nothing. Love is supreme, more important than spiritual gifts, and more important than sacrifices that I might make, because love is the real proof of my relationship with God. How important that we love one another. Now, I'm going to ask you to just in your mind think of that person that you detest. Are you willing to let God wipe away the bitterness, the anger, the hatred that you have? Are you willing that the Lord plant his love in your heart for them? I'm not asking you to love them. I'm just asking if you're willing. Because I do know that people do things to us that cause us to have bitterness towards them. And we often think, I could never forgive them. And we sometimes, if we are honest, will say, I hate them. I hope something horrible happens to them. But am I willing to let God work in my heart and give me love and compassion for that person? I will confess that in my life and in the ministry, there have often been people that have done very hurtful things. And I sought to just cut them out of my mind. I can't really say I love them. When we were kids, we used to say, well, I love them just enough to get into heaven. You know. But that isn't agape. I think that as John gives us these tests, that we all find ourselves, well, I don't know how many get an A grade, maybe a C average, or maybe some of you get a D and an F. But God wants to work his love through us. God loves them. Herein is love, not that we love God, that he loved us, sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God manifested his love towards us in while we were yet sinners, in rebellion against him. He sent his Son Christ to die for us. And the message of the gospel is that of love. First of all, God's love for us. The love of Jesus for us. But then Jesus commanded us to love one another even as he loves us. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. You've got it. You've got all of the law, you've got all of the prophets, you've got all of the teaching of the Bible summed up in this. It's in the word love. Loving God and loving your neighbor. Father, we do confess that we often come short of the glory of God. We are not always following the example that has been set for us by our Lord Jesus Christ. We sometimes find ourselves wanting to see another person who has hurt us, to see them hurt. And Lord, in that we are not reflecting the kind of love that you have for us. And so we ask your help. We can't do it in ourselves, Lord. We need your help. And so we open up our hearts and lives to you tonight, that you might fill us with your Spirit, that Spirit of love, and that we, Lord, might truly love, so that we can have that true assurance that we are your children. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand? The pastors are down here at the front to pray for you. The Lord's been speaking to your heart, and maybe you'd like to just really, you know, get right with God. Get rid of some of the bitterness and the hatred that maybe you have in your heart. The Lord will help you tonight. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, we've received that which we have asked of him. So ask him to help you, and he will. You can be sure of that, because that's what he wants. Love, 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 love. Christian, this is your call. Love your neighbor as yourself, for God loves all. Love, 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 love. Christian, this is your call. Love your neighbor as yourself, for God loves all. God bless you.